Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a set of 10 podcasts on the topic of geriatrics. It's from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It covers important topics, including functional decline and frailty, cognitive impairment and dementia, evaluation of cognitively impaired elderly driver, depression in late life, hearing impairment, vision impairment, urinary incontinence, undernutrition, pharmacotherapeutic considerations in the elderly, including pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics, elder abuse and neglect, goals of care and advanced directives, and prognostication. After listening to these 10 podcasts, you should have a solid foundation in geriatrics and should help you provide better care to your senior citizen patients. This chapter is authored by Dr. Jedet Ross, MD, who's professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship and Director of Didactic Activities for Palliative Care and Geriatric Fellows. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and the graduate medical educational levels. The senior author is Dr. Eric Widera, MD, who's professor of clinical medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF. He's also the Associate Program Director for Geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational interventions. An 82-year-old is seen in your clinic with complaints of difficulty concentrating and memory disturbances. On further questioning, he reveals anhedonia, fatigue, decreased appetite and weight loss, and difficulty falling asleep after the death of his wife 6 months ago. A cognitive exam showed mild impairments in memory, but normal attention, visuospatial abilities, and executive function. Which of the following is the most likely diagnosis? A. Grief. B. Delirium. C. Dementia. And D. Major depressive disorder. And the answer is D, major depressive disorder. Grief is a normal and expected reaction to loss that often comes in waves and may include denial, anger, disbelief, yearning, anxiety, sadness, helplessness, guilt, sleep and appetite changes, fatigue, and social withdrawal. These symptoms of grief overlap with those of major depression. However, depression is a distinct entity. This patient meets the criteria for major depression as he has at least 2 weeks of depressed moods or loss of interest, accompanied by at least 4 additional symptoms of depression that include sleep disturbances, guilt, and feelings of worthlessness, lack of energy, loss of concentration, and major difficulty making decisions, anorexia or weight loss, psychomotor agitation or retardation, and suicidal ideation. Although depression, dementia, and delirium may also have some overlap in symptoms, his normal attention and prolonged onset of symptoms argue against delirium, and the lack of impairment in other cognitive domains argue against a diagnosis of dementia. Depression in late life. Major depression is one of the most common mental health disorders in late life. As many as 1 in 10 older adults seen by a primary care physician, and upwards of 30% to 50% of institutionalized older adults will have clinically significant depression. Depression in older adults may often go unnoticed by clinicians, as a depressed mood may not be prominent in later life depression. Rather, anhedonia, that is a pervasive loss of interest and pleasure, is more commonly found in older adults suffering from major depression. Older adults may also present with higher levels of anxiety and somatic symptoms, as well as concerns about cognitive impairment. Screening instruments may improve the rate of diagnosis of depression in older adults. Clinicians should screen older adults for depression using a standard scale, the PHQ-2, the Patient Healthcare Question 2, asks patients about depressed moods and anhedonia. If initial screening is positive, physicians should perform a more detailed history, physical and mental status examination that focuses on assessing mood, affect, cognition, and the psychological symptoms of depression. Physicians should also assess for other potential causes or contributors to depressive symptoms that are more common in older adults, such as medication effect from polypharmacy or pain from other comorbidities. Treatment with psychotherapy and/or antidepressant medications can diminish symptoms and improve quality of life in older adults with major depression. Evidence from randomized controlled trials show that psychotherapy, including CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, improves symptoms in healthy adults with unipolar depression. SSRIs, that is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and tricyclic antidepressants are effective treatments for late life depression. Results from several meta-analyses do not indicate the superiority of one class of antidepressants over another. Selection of antidepressant should therefore be based on patient symptoms and preferences, the antidepressant's adverse effect profile and cost, and the risk of drug-drug interactions. Anticipated beneficial side effects may also help guide drug selection. Tricyclic antidepressants should generally not be considered first line in older adults due to their narrow therapeutic window, and anticholinergic adverse effects, which include dry mouth, constipation, urinary retention, tachycardia, orthostatic hypotension, and delirium. Patients who do not improve should be considered for psychiatric consultation and treatment changes, including electroconvulsive therapy or ECT. An interesting article in the New England Journal of Medicine, September 25, 2014, titled Depression in the Elderly, authored by Dr. Warren D. Taylor, MD, goes on to say that the key clinical points about depression in the elderly include: A, late life depression occurring in persons 60 years of age or older is common and is often associated with coexisting medical illness, cognitive dysfunction, or both. B, depressed older adults are at increased risk for suicide. C, screening for depression is important, but positive screening results should be followed by a thorough evaluation to assess patient safety and ensure that treatment is warranted. D, either psychotherapy or pharmacotherapy may be used as first-line therapy. D, currently available antidepressants show efficacy in depressed older patients, but older patients are at increased risk for medication side effects. SSRIs are considered first-line pharmacotherapy. And lastly, standardized psychotherapy techniques are also effective for depression in older adults. This podcast is derived from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. Jeanette Ross, MD, professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is also the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and graduate medical education levels. Her main interests include advanced communication skills, goals of care, pain management, and management of falls in the elderly. Her clinical activities are based in the South Texas VA healthcare system, where she is a staff physician within the geriatrics department and extended care services, and she is affiliated with the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center. She works in the Geriatrics and Palliative Care Consultation Service and the Geriatrics Clinic. Dr. Eric Widera, MD, is Professor of Clinical Medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at UCSF, that is University of California, San Francisco. He's also the Associate Program Director for Geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational innovations. Dr. Widera accomplishes this through various leadership roles, including Director of the Hospice and Palliative Care Service at San Francisco VA Medical Center, and he's the Program Director for the Geriatric Fellowship at UCSF. He has been the recipient of numerous grants and awards, including a Geriatric Academic Center Award at the Hastings Center Cunniff Dixon Physician Award, and the Hartford Foundation as a Center of Excellence Faculty Scholar Award.